the past's past and the past's future. Some truths only hit children. Adults and non-philosophers get sucked into the minutiae of practical life and need to worry about serious matters, so they abandon these insights for seemingly more relevant questions. One of these truths concerns the larger difference in texture and quality between the past and the future. Thanks to my studying this distinction all my life, I understand it better than I did during my childhood, but I no longer envision it as vividly. The only way you can imagine a future similar to the past is by assuming that it will be an exact projection of it, hence predictable. Just as you know with some precision when you were born, you would then know with equal precision when you'll die. The notion of future mixed with chance, not a deterministic extension of your perception of the past, is a mental operation that our mind can't perform. Chance is too fuzzy for us to be a category by itself. There is an asymmetry between past and future, and it's too subtle for us to understand naturally. The first consequence of this asymmetry is that in people's minds, the relationship between the past and the future doesn't learn from the relationship between the past and the past previous to it. There's a blind spot. When we think of tomorrow, we don't frame it in terms of what we thought about yesterday or the day before yesterday. Because of this introspective defect, we fail to learn about the difference between our past predictions and the subsequent outcomes. When we think of tomorrow, we just project it as another yesterday. This small blind spot has other manifestations. Go to the primate section of the Bronx Zoo, where you can see our close relatives in the happy primate family leading their own busy social lives. You can also see masses of tourists laughing at the caricature of humans that the lower primates represent. Now imagine being a member of a higher level species, say, a real philosopher, a truly wise person, far more sophisticated than the human primates. You would certainly laugh at the people laughing at the non-human primates. Clearly, to those people amused by the apes, the idea of a being who would look down on them the way they look down on the apes can't immediately come to their minds. If it did, it would elicit self-pity. They would stop laughing. Accordingly, an element in the mechanics of how the human mind learns from the past makes us believe in definitive solutions, yet not consider that those who preceded us thought that they too had definitive solutions. We laugh at others, and we don't realize that someone will be just as justified in laughing at us on some not too remote day. Such a realization would entail the recursive or second-order thinking that I mentioned in the prologue. We're not good at it. This mental block about the future hasn't yet been investigated and labeled by psychologists, but it appears to resemble autism. Since autistic subjects can possess high levels of mathematical or technical intelligence, their social skills are defective, but that's not the root of their problem. Autistic people can't put themselves in the shoes of others, can't view the world from their standpoint. They see others as inanimate objects, like machines, moved by explicit rules. They can't perform such simple mental operations as, "He knows that I don't know that I know," and it's this inability that impedes their social skills. Interestingly, autistic subjects, regardless of their intelligence, also exhibit an inability to comprehend uncertainty. Just as autism is called mind blindness, this inability to think dynamically, to position oneself with respect to a future observer, we should call future blindness.